Good morning. My name is Jerry Phillips, and I will be reading the scripture this morning from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I have a really important question for you. Do you use emojis? How many of you do not use emojis? Nah, I don't believe you. Come on, you use the emojis. It's amazing how many people use emojis, whether it's the heart emoji. And we got, if you don't know what they look like, I'm going to show you. Here's the first one you want to look at. Look, here's the, you want to look at the heart emoji. The one down the bottom here, you see it on the phone. It always looks like this. And it's amazing how many people use emojis to communicate how they are feeling. And we have been doing that here for the last 3 weeks. And our main topic has been, how do I love God? Or how do I love you? My name's Keith Harcombe, by the way, and I'm your lead pastor yet here at Palm Harbor. And if I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you in the lobby after the service. Well, for these last 3 weeks, we have been in our series called How Do I Love You? And for the first week, we did the heart emoji. We did the heart emoji, and you all need to do that. Yeah, good. Some of you are following along. Those of you in my class, you're following along. Yeah, this is the heart emoji. This is what you send when you love something, when you really like something, when something that's important to you, and you like it. You see a post on social media, or even in text, you'll send the post. And then the next one we did, we did from the heart emoji, we moved to the care emoji. We moved the care emoji. We'll put it up when Gwen goes, yeah. But you know, we use the care emoji. You guys are going to do this? You guys are going to do this? Hug yourselves. Some of you are doing it. Come on, join in. Yeah. Okay, good, good. And then the other emoji we're going to talk about today is the heel emoji, which is just this one, the heel emoji. And we're going to talk about this in a minute. And then the last one next week is the one you all use, and I don't want you here saying you don't use it, is the prayer emoji. Everybody used that. Even the people who are pagans used the prayer emoji. That's another sermon for another day. But how do we love God? How is it that we love God? So the first week we talked about loving God, but loving justice and seeking mercy and following humbly our God, seeking Him humbly with our heart. Last week, Pastor Kathy delivered a sermon on how we care for one another. Wouldn't it be wonderful if said, oh, that's the church that cares. We know they're Christians because they care. And this week, we are talking about healing. We've had those emojis for a long time. Joking aside, emojis have been with us for a long time. And, you know, way back when posts are fun and light and jokes and all that, we used to just, we like them or we love them. And it was, everything was going fine. And then as social media became more of our lifestyles, it became more serious. The posts that we've seen and the way we communicate with each other became more serious. And so when people would post things like, please pray for me, my mother is sick. I'm going in for surgery today. I lost my great-grandfather. He was such a servant. We moved our emoji category, and in September of 2000, we all know what was happening then, we moved to a heal emoji. By posting a heal emoji, you say, I want you to heal. I would really want everything in your life to point towards healing. What about you? Did you come today needing healing? Is there something personally in your life? Maybe it's something mentally going on in your life that you need healing from. Maybe it's the emotions. You can't understand your emotions. You've had this emotion for a long time, and you don't really know what that emotion is. Maybe it's in your relationships for years. For this relationship with someone in your family has never really happened, and you would love to seek reconciliation in that relationship. Maybe it's physically something that you would like to see healed. Maybe it's spiritually, something, an understanding of God that you're not really sure is right, and you'd love God to heal that in your life. Maybe it's for your family, a family friend right now. I bet you, even if I asked right here, right now, there's somebody close to you that you would want to be healed, that you would, in fact, you're tired of praying for that person because you want that person to be healed in your family. Maybe it's just in your workplace. Maybe it's in where you go every day. You would just love to see some healing. Sometimes God provides us healing through the presence of somebody. Quick survey, how many of you have felt the presence of God through somebody else's presence in your situation of needing healing? Yeah. Amazing. For me, personally, it was when my father died. We'd only been here a year, and it was a really busy time. My children were tripling by the second. I had my fourth one all of a sudden, and that was in 2004. David was born. It was a really busy time, and the church was providing healing for our sanity, and they were giving us food. There was a meal train. Yeah, we love those kind of things, right? And back at my old church at Eastlake, across the way here on Mullen Booth, and they had a meal train going for us. And I got the phone call that said, "Dad, it's Keith, it's your dad." And they had to keep the meal train going because my father died 3 weeks after my fourth child was born. And I had so much pain going on, and I went through the usual stages of grief, you know, doubting and anger, but I stuck in the anger one for a while. Wait a minute. Mom and Dad were going to come back to Florida, and they were going to live here, and they were going to see David, the fourthborn, and they were going to be close by. What do you mean he's dead? And our church was real helpful. They kept the meal train going. And then I had a visit from my pastor. Well, he was my boss at the time as well, Bruce Toms. He was my boss and my pastor, and now he's like a long-term friend. He came in the house. He walked into the house, and for a change, he didn't say anything. He didn't have any pithy statements. He didn't have anything to preach to me. He didn't have any, like, scripture quotes that he was going to quote at me and say, oh, this is going to come for you. He was just present. He was just there for me. And that gave me reassurance that God wanted to heal me in this situation just by his presence in my house. I let him drink my coffee and eat my biscuits, eat my cookies, but he was present. And that said to me that God wanted to heal us, amen? God wanted to be present in my life. God wants to be present in my situation and provide healing both for me, for my wife, and my entire family as we experienced severe loss and needed healing in our family. What about you? Where do you need healing? Where do you need healing mentally? Where do you need help, assistance, and healing in the emotions that you have? Where do you need help, healing in your relationships? Where is it you need healing physically? And where is it you need a healing spiritually so that you can understand that God loves you more than you ever know? Our Bibles are full of healing stories. Jesus was known as the great physician whilst he was on earth. And people came from all around to just put the sick in front of him. In fact, one of the Gospels says that there was that many times when Jesus healed, there's not enough books in the world to tell you all about him. So we just got 4 books. That tells us the kind of healing that Jesus did. And there are many occasions and different ways and different methods that Jesus used to heal us, to heal people. But we're going to go to James today, and Jerry read that for us today. The scripture for today is in James chapter 5. We're going to go to James chapter 5 if you want to follow along in your Bibles. Now is a good time to do that. It's towards the back of your Bible. If you're on an app, just open it and go to James chapter 5. If you're online, just open up another tab there, James 5. But I want you to pay attention today. Hopefully this will stop you scrolling on your phone. But James chapter 5, we're going to start at the back, the very end. Instead of going the way Jerry read it properly through 13 through 20, we're going to start at verse 19. Because I think James got it the wrong way around. James was the half-brother of Jesus. Of course, James and Jesus had the same mother. And so James, you know, kind of probably grew up with a bit of, sibling rivalry with Jesus. Imagine having Jesus as your brother. But he wrote this book. He finally decided to follow Jesus, and he wrote this book. And it's so powerful for our lives today. So we're going to start at verse 19, because I think James got it the wrong way around. So we're going to read verse 19 through 20 first. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins. And we start here because I believe some of us are wandering. Now, my assumption is, if you are here, you're not wandering, you're in the right place, you've arrived at the right place, and you're ready to hear from God, amen? But some of us have wandered. Some of us have wandered from the truth. Some people who fell in love with God at some point and came with you here to this facility have wandered away. Now, if you're in love with someone and you're in a relationship with someone, it doesn't just end when the paper comes through, when the divorce is over. You continue to love, but you wander. You wander from the truth. And God wants us to wander back to him, to fall in love with him again, and to be passionately participating with the people. The people who also want to follow God. And he says, those who wander away from the truth, I want you to bring them back. He doesn't say, go around their house and say, didn't see you at church this Sunday. He doesn't say, remember this thing? Remember you got one when you were in third grade? Read your Bible, bro. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I noticed you're drinking more recently. I'm sure God doesn't want you to drink that much. He doesn't say that. He says, woo them. Woo them back. Entice them. Woo them back in and bring them back in. Invite them in to a relationship with God again. What for? Why should we invite people? So we can tell other people, I invited him back. I did that. I got a check on my board. That was me. I got him in. No, why should we woo and invite people back to relationship with God? What does it say? to save them from death. To save them from death. Death in two senses. Death from continual path of sin, which is something that eventually happens over time. But most of all, a death from a relationship with God. He says, first of all, I want you to do this. I want you to invite. In fact, I'm saying that. James is not saying that. I'm saying first. Invite people back from wandering, and you will save that person from death and bring it about the forgiveness of many sins. The forgiveness. So that's the first thing we do. The way we love God, a path of the way we love God, is to invite those that we know who are wandering from the truth to come back, to fall in love with God again. Obviously, there's something got to be about your life that it's invitational. Yeah, if you're judgmental, mean, and nasty, guess what? They're not coming. Like, well, you should do that. Well, I always believe this. I think it should say this. Doesn't attract anybody to a right relationship with God. Invite people into the relationship. If you're happy with your relationship with God, invite them to that place. And how many people should we do this to? How many people should you invite back to your relationship with God? Put your finger up like this. One person. Find one person that you know is wandering from the truth, is wandering from their faith, has wandered from their church, and say, hey, I would love to see you here again. I would love, in fact, I'm here because you invited me and you've wandered off. I would love to see you back here again in a right relationship with God. So the first thing, the way we love God, is to invite people. Don't be mean. Don't be nasty. Don't be judgmental. Invite people back. Okay, so we go back to verse 16. Go back to verse, 16. Second thing we should do is confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So the second thing we should do is confess. Confess our sins. Now, if you know someone that you can confess your sins to, hold on to them tightly. Hold on to them and love them and be thankful for them. Because what happens when you confess your sins? You are healed. That's what it says. What the scripture says. When you confess your sins to one another, you are healed. There's a healing power in confessing your sins. Now, you don't just go around and tell everybody. You don't tell the Publix clerk and you don't tell the people in the shopping thing. It's like, guess what? I did this today. But you found somebody. You find somebody who loves you, wants the best for your life, who's a trusted voice. And that person who is a righteous person doesn't spread it around, put it all over Facebook, and I heard this today, and tell everybody else about it. They keep it in their heart. And then they pray for you. Notice we have the verse after this confessing. What does it say? The most misquoted verse of all time. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Notice where that verse is related to. When you confess your sins to the brother or sister who is there for you. Say, I did this. I did this. I'm so sorry. Let me pray for you. Oh, that prayer is powerful. In fact, it's so powerful, he equates it to Elijah's prayer. Elijah, who prayed that there'd be no rain for 3.5 years, there wasn't any rain, and then he prayed and it rained. Now, the miracle was not in the rain being away for 3.5 years or the rain coming after 3.5 years. The miracle was the fact that God used Elijah and his powerful prayers. He said, if you find someone you can confess your sins to, and that person prays, and that prayer is powerful, That prayer is powerful and can bring you back and bring you healing. Confess your sins to one another. Confess to those you are comfortable with. And Jesus would talk about this in Mark chapter 2. In Mark 2, he's sitting in a room and there's a guy coming through the roof wanting to be healed. His four friends bring him to the house where Jesus is teaching. And the guy comes through the roof and all the stuff's coming down on his head and they bring him down. Would you heal him? And he says, yeah, you know, you're going to be healed. And the Pharisees, they say, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Forgiving sins. And Jesus said to them, he says to them in verse 9, he says, is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say, pick up your mat and walk? So I'll prove to you that I'm still the man. I'll tell him, pick up your mat and walk. And he went, what? Walking and leaping and praising God because he'd experienced the healing. And he knew this healing because of his faithful brothers who lowered him down through the roof. And he confessed to them, I did this and this happened. Confess your sins to one another. Confess, and their prayer, their righteous prayer, will be powerful in your life. Okay, back up two more verses. Back up to verse 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? Are any of you suffering hardships? You should what? Pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Are any of you suffering? Pray. Are any of you suffering? Are any of you not suffering and happy? Rejoice. Rejoice. Sing the hallelujahs. Scream at God and say, thank you, God. My life is such a blessing. Every morning when I wake up and I step out of my bed, I'm like, wow, I'm breathing. Wow, I'm walking. Wow, all the things work when I go to the bathroom in the morning. Wow, I put on the light goes on. Wow, praise the Lord. How can I give myself then to somebody else who is healing and in pain? God, wow, what a great life I have. I'm breathing today. If you're sick, you have the power to call on the elders of the church, on the pastors of the church, on those who have been commissioned, those we commissioned last week, the care people, those people are here to pray for you. And we have a massive prayer chain going around this church right now for those who are sick. As I was writing this sermon, I was thinking of all these people that need prayer, that need presence in their life. My wife today is in Boston to be there for my aunt who's got a brain tumor. Hi, Rose. Hi, Rose. She's watching. She's there and she knows that Julie's presence is providing healing in her life. And through your prayers, through my prayers, through my wife's prayers, through advances in technology, through doctors and nurses, through people who have given their lives to healing, we're able to be healed. For a long time, medical professionals didn't mention prayer in their clinical studies. They didn't think that was something that they should assess. And then in 1999, they did a clinical trial in the American Medical Association. And it was by students in a university hospital. They did this trial and they did it to determine whether remote intercessory prayer for the hospitalized, those who are cardiac patients, will reduce overall adverse events and length of stay. This is done to 999 consecutive patients that were newly admitted to the CCU, to the cardiac care unit. They were prayed for by a team who knew them only in name. Patients were unaware they were being prayed for. They'd never met the patients, and their conclusions were as follows. Remote intercessory prayer was associated with lower CCU course scores. This result suggests that prayer may be an effective adjunct to a standard medical care. Praise the Lord! It works! Thank you, National Institute of Medicine. Thank you, National... Prayer works! Jesus told me that too when I read the Bible when I was really young. Visit someone in hospital. Visit somebody at home. Visit with somebody who is sick and hurting. Visit with people who need to know the presence of God. Just like Bruce Toms, only his presence showed me the healing power of God. Visit with somebody. Yeah, and if you're like me, you talk a lot, you just sit there and say nothing for a change. Just be present. Be present with those people and tell them God loves them. And then when they call you to pray for them and you're unsure how to pray for the person in front of you that's sick, pray like this. God, I'm thankful for our bodies, that you've given us bodies that naturally heal themselves. The complex thing going on right now in this body and your bodies is unbelievable. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing body. That's the first thing to pray. Thankful for this body. Second of all, I'm thankful for nurses and doctors and advances in medicine and crazy machines that do things in seconds and the fact that we found healing in so much better in 2022, amen? Some of you have been the recipients of that. And Jesus said when everybody was marveled at what he was doing and all the healing he was providing, he said, you'll do greater things than these. And we are doing greater things than this. And we've equipped people in hospitals, just in Pinellas County alone, to heal people. But he also said, if none of that's working, pray for a miracle. Pray, seek God on your knees, seek God with a righteous heart and ask, God, would you heal this person? This person's been through everything. They've been through every procedure imaginable. Their bodies are not working anymore. Would you heal this person? We might not get the results we want for, but we've healed. We've asked God, and when it happens, we rejoice, amen? And you know people. You know people who are healed today because of prayers, because of advances in medicine, because their bodies have started working again. The last thing that he mentions there is anoint people. In the church, over 2,000 years, we have been anointing people. They did it in Old Testament times too. It's a symbol of how we acknowledge the power of God at work in our lives. And today I'm going to invite those who are assisting in healing today and come down with anointing oil. Today I want to invite you to be anointed. It's a simple event. And you seek God for your healing. You ask God for healing. And people say to me, you want me to pray for you? I'm like, sure, please. I need all the prayer I can get. And that's what we need today. We're going to invite you to come down. If you want healing in your life, if your body's not working like you'd like it to again, come down. If you need healing for your mental state, come on down. If there's something in your emotions, in your relationships, where you need healing, come down for prayer and anointing today. If there's a place in your life that you'd long for healing, and if everything's good, you're all good, I'm good, I don't need any of that stuff, I'm good, I'm going to sit right here. Rejoice! Amen. Rejoice! and be thankful what God's doing in your life. And if none of that, come down for someone who you want healing in their life. You and God know who you're representing. So Pastor Kathy and I and others are going to be down the front here, and we're going to provide healing. We're going to put some oil on your head. Please, come on down the front. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to heal you mentally and emotionally and relationally. Please, come down the front and be healed.